Welcome to Story Talking, Episode 4. This week my guest is Micaela Data, a 26-year-old microbiologist from Manila, Philippines. Micaela wrote the poem Till the Internet Connection Do Us Part, which we featured in the fall 2017 issue of The Storyteller, and is also available as a listen story. Micaela's guide is called Freeing Your Words with Free Verse Poetry. In this episode, we talk about poetry, about why she writes, and whether writing has changed her as a person. And we also have a little discussion on whether writers are narcissists, or are we just desensitized to our surroundings. Here it is, episode 4 of Story Talking with Micaela Data.
I think writers have a tendency to be really introspective, just like that.
Yeah.
That journey you have to undergo to realize these things. In my case, I think I write because I'm not comfortable communicating with people, and sometimes I'm not sure if they are interested in what I have to say. So it's like easier to let those thoughts out when I'm alone, and then just write about it.
That's the good thing about writing, right? It's like a one-way conversation where I'm going to say everything I want to say, and then it's up to you if you want to say anything or not.
That's true. But do you feel like writing itself is a narcissistic passion? Because somehow you'd need self-validation. You'd need feedback from people. You'd have to know you're good. So sometimes I think there's a narcissist aspect to writing.
I definitely agree. But I do think I have been narcissistic in the past. I don't think people who know me would disagree, but I think what I like to tell myself is that it's the harmless kind of narcissism, because we're not saying that give me attention for no reason and I deserve it. We're saying I have something to say and I would like you to read it, So we're not asking people to just tell us we're amazing or that I'm better than you and then I think more than you, I know more than you. There's definitely people like that. And there's definitely writers are like that. But I think the good thing about at least writers today and the people who I've seen write through Longshora, there's just so much honesty that I think they're so self-aware that it almost borders on not being narcissism and just really wanting validation.
Wanting to get the story out.
It can be. I wonder if that was the case all the time. Especially when I read, these days, if you write a story, I can talk to you. If you write a poem, I can reach out to you and be like, oh, this was really, really... Yeah. Resonated with me. I totally understand what you're saying. But 100 years ago, you couldn't really talk to the person who you admired or liked or related to because you were separated by this. I mean, even 20 years ago, you were separated by the fact that you just bought their book, and you could write them letters, but you could never really have a direct one-on-one conversation. And I wonder if they also had the same insecurities and desires of wanting connection that other people do today, because
like the purpose of writers before might be a little different than the purpose of writers now.
I hope not. I think it was because I remember this thing that Bob Dylan said. I think he said that creativity is not in you, but it passes through you. And if it's a force that makes you create, which is why he said that the songs he wrote in his 20s, when he was in his 50s, he couldn't relate to that person anymore because it wasn't him. It was the creative force. And
Oh, I actually agree with that. Sometimes you'll
Yeah.
read stuff you wrote years ago and you'll just cringe, like, what? That
Yeah.
came from me. So yeah, I think creativity, it's an ongoing process. It's like
Yeah.
a tide, so ebb and flow like that. And at different points in our life, there will be different forms of creativity that will also express.
Yeah. And then I think that, okay, if we take that as an assumption that that is what it is, then maybe it doesn't change over time. Maybe it adapts, but if everyone who is creative or is artistic and is someone who creates some form of, uses self-expression to do something, then it must have some of the same characteristics. Whatever goes through me is also flowing through another person. And in that case, it doesn't matter if it was 50 years ago or 50 years from now. If people are going to be creative, they're going to be creative about the same things. Like, we're always going to write about life, we're always going to write about love, we're always going to write about things we don't have or can't see yet. So I don't know if, I mean, the words might change, but I guess the desire and the purpose might stay the same.
But do you know that there are artificial intelligence that can write poetry
Yeah.
now?
I have
AI
I'm worried
generated
about that.
poems. Me too.
The one of the things that I really tell people about when I tell them about what I want to do and why I made L'Enjeu is because I really do think that art and creativity will be the last things we replace humans. Like, we'll be the last thing that humans are still doing before the robot overlords take over. And if they're already taking over and taking that away from us, I wonder if we're just going to start recessing this creative, gene or force, whatever it is, because the best movies are going to be written by robots,
That's true.
And it's one thing that I remember there was, I think it was from a TV show, but there was this idea that someone has either was a joke or someone has actually tried to make an algorithm that predicts if a script is going to be a movie, is going to be a blockbuster or not.
Oh, wow.
And
Does it actually work?
I wonder if, I don't think so, because all the movie studios still make bad movies, but I think we're not far away from that, because like, you just have to make an algorithm that reads every script over the last, 50 years, and then it looks at how much money they made, and then it tries to see what they have in common. And actually, when I was in college, we used to study that. Like, not this, but we used to study correlation in economics, and how you can use econometrics was the word, how you can use these softwares to see how correlated something is to something else. And we would give it a number, like, if the number is like 0.2, then that's bad. If the number is 0.8, it's good. It was something like that. So I wonder if that's going to be the case, because I've run across a couple easy, they're like simple softwares for writers, and they help you with writer's block. And you can, if you're writing
Like
something,
suggest some words, is
yes,
that it?
like, they suggest some words, or let's say you're writing fiction, it'll at one point even read what you last wrote, and it would suggest the next thing you could write in the plot, which is
That's
really
really
creepy,
scary. It's like dictating, yeah, dictating what you'll write next.
And then I wonder, like, if the machine is really going to tell me what to write, then am I really the one who is creating it anymore? And that's one thing that maybe in a human sense we come back to, is that a lot of times I see people writing for the people who are going to read it. Like, I'll write because I think that's what you'll like to read. And And that doesn't, at least for me, that doesn't always work. I don't think I could sustain that for too long, writing because I think that's what you want to read. Because it won't really be me. It won't really be honest. Because I'm trying to reverse engineer some sort of success. Because I think this will become more popular.
But for example, for writers who have already made it, for example, poets like Lang Liv, so they have targeted a certain niche market, the heartbroken millennials. So I don't know. For example, for a famous person like her, if suddenly she wanted to write about something else and people don't resonate with it, so maybe that's the opposite of what you were saying.
No, I
So,
agree. So, tell me about what are you doing now? Like, where do you live? What do you do?
Oh, okay. So I'm from Manila, and actually, my background is our laboratory. So I'm a researcher. I'm actually a microbiologist. And I've been writing since grade school, and I thought I would have been a writer actually when I became an adult. But no, I do technical writing, so publications like that. But I find that I still go back to creative writing. So
So,
that's what I do, a balancing act
yeah.
as researcher, full-time research work. And I'm taking up my master's as well, but it's a little different from microbiology. It's anthropology. I feel like I'm actually all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know what field I should really be doing, but an integral part of those is writing. So I
Yeah.
write scientific papers in my profession and then ethnographies for my
Okay.
master's. So
And you're
it's
in the
really a core
middle of
part of
your
me.
master's right now?
I'm about to finish once I
Okay.
finish my thesis.
Okay. So the thesis is the last stage, right?
That's true, but
Yeah.
it's the biggest hurdle.
Right. I mean, so microbiology, when did you figure that out, that that's going to be a path?
Because of funds, finances. So, of course, writing, it's not a very lucrative profession actually until you make it big. So that was one of the considerations why my parents were pushing me to do a science related course. And I think a lot of young people would resonate with that as well, being forced into engineering or being a doctor, but some of them might have hidden passions into art or writing. Well, that's a good message. No matter how hard you steer away from it, you'll always go back to it, to writing.
That's one of the reasons I think that we were able to make Lonjora like for everyone, because all these people who either are already in a place where they feel like they need to let something out, or people who are not sure about who they want to be and they want to let something out. So I think that really made Lonjora a good place for people, because we never told anyone to write books or fiction or poetry. People just came and wrote whatever they wanted. And a lot of it turned into real stories about their life or poetry from people who've never written before.
I think that's one of the beautiful things about Lonchora, the community as well, because it gives a writer, a budding writer, confidence to just put their story out there, because it's like the readers will be storytellers too. So you know that you're in safe hands, even if the story might not be that great yet, but you'll have positive feedback. They'll give you constructive criticism. So they just appreciate it too, because they're also storytellers. So I think that's one of the good things that the Lonchora community has done for me as well as a budding writer, because I also didn't have any formal training and it's my first time to launch my writing into a bigger audience.
I think you're right. It really, having the community was always my dream, to have a safe place for everyone, because I didn't want anyone to feel discouraged by, because you know, if when you try something out for the first time, all you need is for someone, even one person, to be like, not bad. You know, like, you just want to hear not bad. That's like your minimum requirement. But if, and if someone can give you that, then it really, it can take you, you know, you'll be good, happy for like a good month. If someone, if one person said that was good, I really liked it. And having that, having other people, it's not like you should let other people define how you feel, but it doesn't hurt when someone else is encouraging you or helping you build up your own self-confidence as you go.
But for you, what makes a good writing?
I think that if you can make me forget where I am, that's a pretty good feeling. Like when I'm reading something and I'm in the world that you have created, even if it's, like even your poem, I remember, I think the first, I mean, it was repeated, which made it better, but I think the first thing was, this is electronic love, right? And just that phrase, just that word, just those two words together, electronic love, it was just, I was like, I want to know more. Because I haven't heard that before. You know, like people, I just, and then I used, and then I was thinking, why have I never heard that before? Even though the internet has been around for, you know, 20 years, I've been using it for 20 years. And I know what it's like to, I know what it's like to read about it. I know what it's like to feel this connection with other people online. But it was just, it was, it, it really just drew me into want to know more. And the way I define, at least the way I want to write, the way I define my own writing, is that I know that people who read my stories are, have a lot, you know, there's a lot of distractions online. So I just want to make sure I can get you to the next sentence. So I don't want to go in, I don't want to ask, what was the story behind it? Because I think your poem does justice to leaving that to the imagination. But what was it like to share that with other people? Like, what was that feeling like when you were like, not only am I going to write this, I'm also going to share it with other people?
Well, at first I was afraid because I don't think it's taboo right now, admitting that you had an online romance, but some people would still, what? You just met your boyfriend online like that. So there might be a tendency for people to judge. So yeah, at first I was nervous publishing it, but then the need to let out those emotions overpowered, and I felt a little more confident, and I know that it's very common nowadays to have online romance, and I think people would resonate with it. So from being very nervous and having second thoughts into releasing it, I became more confident. And especially before I chose Lonchora to launch it, I browsed Lonchora first, and I saw that, there's a feel-good feeling about putting your stories out there and then seeing the comments from people. So yeah, as I said before, it made me feel more comfortable to put my stories out there in Lonchora.
I appreciate that. I think, and you know, it wasn't that something, even if I wanted to make a judgment-free platform, I couldn't just say that this is judgment-free, so you're not allowed to judge. I think it just became the right practice that that came to people naturally, because I think that because of everything else that exists online, people really gravitated towards a place where they can be honest and not feel like they're particularly being naked, you know? Because there is that feeling of feeling naked when you reveal something that is based on a personal experience. But if everyone else is naked, is naked really weird anymore?
You know? That's true. And, it's a very good thought.
And I think that's why, because you said the thing that because they're all trying to tell their own stories, they are so much more accepting and supportive to anyone who's new and comes in and says, like, I was really nervous, but this is what I made. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And I think that the more people do that, the more comfortable everyone else is going to feel who right now doesn't have that confidence or comfort that, you know what, I think it's okay for me to reveal who I am inside to strangers, because it can feel really freeing, I guess, in the moment, but it comes with a lot of anxiety to be so honest and explore that part of you that you don't even try to put into words sometimes.
It feels easier to look for people to connect with online. So maybe I thought a lot of people will understand where I'm coming from.
Right.
They'll appreciate what the poem is about. So they will not think it's weird to have those emotions.
Yeah.
They'll understand what it's about.
Did you get this feeling that, you know, your story is about connecting online and having a very intense, intimate experience online, and then when you publish it, when you put it out there, it's still online. Did it feel like you were having this full circle experience about this whole thing because it happened online, and then when it ended, you were able to write about it and share it online?
Oh yeah, I think that became my closure.
Yeah.
Because it started online and ended online as well. I don't know if the person ended up reading it about the poem, but yeah, it became a form of closure for me. I have this other poem in Lonchora. It's called Beware of Muses, Beware of Poets,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I remember that.
On that one, I think the internet connection poem, it was like a form of closure for me. But I also have this sort of baffling feeling. Sometimes I don't know if I go into relationships because I wanted to write, kind of like Taylor Swift, you know?
Yeah.
Like her inspiration becomes her failed relationship. So I don't know if writing is therapeutic for me. Getting over some distressing emotions, or sometimes if it's like I needed those distressing emotions to write. So I think that's one of my dilemmas as a writer.
I think that even if we have that thing subconsciously, in the moment we rarely want to do something that would hurt us in the short term. I think we still tend to do things for happiness in the end. Like, we're all trying to be happier. We might be happy in the moment, but, you know, why do we do things? We are trying to be a little more happy today than we were yesterday. So in that way, I think perhaps the writing of something that was not great in the past, writing about the past is just a way for us to turn it into a happier feeling, because, you know, it may not be the best memory for you to have this experience, but writing about it and then getting to talk about writing about it and helping other people write about whatever they're going through, you're helping turn it into a happier memory than it actually was, maybe, you know?
And aside from that, I think it's like a form of desensitization. So you put the emotions out there, you read it over and over and over,
yes,
and then eventually it fades away from you. Like,
that's true.
I don't feel that way anymore.
That's
because
true.
I've put it into words and it's out of my system, maybe. I definitely
relate to that. I think I sometimes use writing as a way of like saving something to a hard drive.
Mm.
Like, you know, once your computer's hard drive is filling up, you get an external hard drive and you put some things in it that you don't use anymore. I've done that with writing, where I've written something just to get it out of me so that I don't have to think about it again, because I'm, you know, it's an old file now. It doesn't need to be accessed.
One of my favorite quotes from Haruki Murakami, something like that.
Yeah.
He says that we write because we want to place something, we want to remember something indefinitely, because memory is a fickle thing, like that. So we write because we want to preserve something from the clutches of the imperfect vessel that is memory.
When you submitted your poem, I sent you a form to write tell me about why you wrote it, right? And that's a good way for me to get to know the behind the scenes, because I'm always curious about what led you to create this, you know? So in that, you wrote this term, which I've read a lot about recently, about being a sapiosexual and having being attracted to someone's mind and substance more than the person
or
their physical self.
Yeah.
So do you think this is something that is only intensified because of people interacting so much with, you know, people online? Like, you can become close to anyone on this planet because of the internet. You know, like earlier when there was no internet, there was no way you could know someone in Australia or Germany or the UK, but now you can.
I think that's true. So it's easier to connect, and you learn about other cultures through the person you are talking to. So for people who are really into, like me, I like anthropology, so I like knowing about culture and personality. So it's a good way to satiate that curiosity.
Yeah. And about so Freeverse poetry that you wrote about, right? What do you think is, as a reader and as a writer, what do you think is modern poetry like? Like, is it really an open field where anyone can just do whatever they want? Or do you think not a lot of things have changed? It's just newer people are experimenting with newer ways of writing.
As I've talked in the guides before, we have this certain notion that for it to be classified as a poem, it has to satisfy those conditions of rhyme, metrics, etc. So, yeah, I think free verse is modern poetry. And then the forums that we can launch it now through the internet. So we have those Tumblr blog posts that features poems as well. So, yeah, it's definitely evolving. And I think free verse has the highest chance of success in the types of literature that we can put out there.
You think it's because it's easier to relate to? Because, like, you know, if I read a poem from 100 years ago, I feel a little disconnect because I don't feel like we're talking in the same language. And free verse is, at least it's using words that I use in my daily life, you know? And you can draw me in without making me feel like you're talking about something alien.
So more like the familiarity of the words being used in free verse. It's more modern, the words we are using.
It feels more modern, definitely, and feels a little more like I don't want to say casual, but it just feels more human to be writing a poetry in the way you speak and finding poetry in the normalcy of language. You don't have to use crazy words, or you don't have to set up insane, structure. You can just say something and let that be seen exactly as it is. It doesn't have to be that moment of, oh wow, I can't believe, she made that happen by doing that. There's just like, wow, I'm just connecting to what I'm reading right now.
Thinking about that, I think the question would be, are we like lowering the standard? If that's the case, lowering the standard, just have this beautiful sentence, and if it evokes a strong emotion out of a person, we can say it's already a poetry like that. So are we, yeah, now I have to think about that. If
No, I don't think, I mean, I hope not. I really think that the good thing about a new generation, there's just, we're never going to stop evolving. And it's a good thing that we keep redefining what normal is and what is common. Like, it's not taboo to talk about some things anymore because more and more people are experiencing it. A few years ago, it was weird to date online. Now everyone dates online. So there's like, and is it not like if someone meets through a dating website or dating app and they fall in love, is it not the same love that someone found, through normal, courtship? So I don't think it's reducing it to a lower standard, but
It's
unless,
just fitting what is
yeah,
trying to make it fit,
I think, like
what resonates with us.
writers and poets, they're, it sounds pretentious, but we're holding up a mirror to society. It's a cliche, pretentious cliche, but it is true. It feels true, especially at our best. I think at our best, we are revealing, we're interpreting life, interpreting, yeah, what we see. And if that is how people talk, then that is how we should write it, How do you think that writing has changed you as a person?
Well, it still hadn't made me confident, but
How has it changed you so far? So far.
well, I get to know myself more. I mean, I'm not that afraid with my thoughts anymore, because at some point in my life, I got this, maybe it's depression, yeah, but writing helped me cope. So I got more brave confronting what I'll call my personal demons, personal monsters like that. So I confronted them through writing. And I think that's really one of the big things that writing has helped me with.
So, who's your favorite, what's your favorite story? Just favorite writer, favorite story, favorite poem, whatever.
I like Haruki
Yeah.
Murakami, because he's not afraid, again, to write about philosophical things,
Yeah.
dark things. He's a very brave writer, so that's why I like him. When it comes to poetry, I like Shinji Moon. So it's very structured, but she can correlate science, like anatomy, and then poetry. So traversing both worlds, very creative, left brain and right brain, like that. So I like her. I aim to be like her.
How important is it for you to be creative and, let out these things because it's not your day job?
It becomes a form of stress reliever for me, but sometimes I feel afraid as well. I'm too tired to write. I'm too tired to act on whatever creative inspirations I get, like that. So that's one of the fears, that eventually I might stop writing when I get too caught up on what I have to do. So yeah, those kinds of things.
That's all right. I think you will find a way, even when that happens, you'll still find some form of an outlet. I certainly, there was a time where I was like, oh, I can't wait to write. And now I'm like, oh, wow, I haven't written in a month, you know, but the feeling has not gone away. It's just now I just have to find a specific time to get it out. But it still finds its way somehow. And maybe because there's less time, because there's other things happening, maybe when you do sit down and write, you'll just be more focused because you're like, you know, well, it's Sunday. I just want to get it. I just want to get something out. So,
I actually believe that, because when I have like a drought in writing, when I stop for a moment and then when I pick up on writing again, it's easier. It seemed easier to write because like maybe it's welled up inside me and then it just gushes forth. The words come out.
Is there something that you want to tackle next, that you want to write about that you haven't started yet, or you're thinking about it, something that you want to challenge yourself with?
Maybe writing about overcoming depression. Although maybe people have already written about it before, but depression, I think, is different for other people, and getting out of that phase.
Yeah.
Is a whole different journey for other people too. So maybe that might be my next piece.
I mean, your experience is your own, so you never know if someone's
relate
gonna
to
relate to it or I mean, I really think that if something is coming out of honesty and with good intentions, then you have this, I think of it as like a moral duty to tell it, because someone could use it. It could be the thing that saves someone else, you know?
And I think because of the stigma surrounding depression, mental health, so maybe making it more common, just like online romance. So it's easier to write about it now because it's more acceptable. So maybe if there are more writings as well, more literature about depression, about mental health issues, then people will think it's okay that I have this and I can do this.
So if you were talking to maybe a 16-year-old version of you or someone like you, what would you like to say to them? Or to that one person?
First, on the aspect of choosing something that you don't really like, for example, the course, a science course, versus what I really wanted to do before, which is creative literature. So it's also okay to think about the practical aspects of our future, but creativity, it's something you really cannot suppress. If you have it, eventually it will come out of you. So just like me, even if I ventured into microbiology now, but I still find avenues to write, and I got featured in Lonchora, so there's still... They will not forget about writing, or they don't have to stop just because they are choosing another path. Eventually, they can do it both.
Thank you for listening to episode 4 of Story Talking. Now, our next featured storyteller is Lynn Cornelis, whose listen story will be out next Tuesday. Her guide will be out next Thursday, but her story talking is actually already available to listen to. It's episode 1, and the reason why it's episode 1 and not episode 5 is because we featured it as a free preview for LSP in the beginning. So You can listen to it right now. And our episode 5 will come out the week after and feature the featured storyteller after Lynn. So unless you're listening to this in the future where it's already out, I would suggest, you know, check out episode 5. And if you haven't already, check out episode 3 with Brittany Zachariah. Thank you for listening.